Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. It's 30 years since one of the biggest hoaxes in newspaper history, when a German reporter claimed to have discovered Hitler's private diaries. Louise Hidalgo reports.
It's April 1983, and the German weekly news magazine Stern has got hold of what promises to be the scoop of the century, the previously unpublished and unknown diaries of the Nazi leader Adolf Hitler, apparently written during the tumultuous years of the Second World War. Stern's editor, Peter Koch, was in no doubt. This was Hitler's work.
We showed it to many experts in handwriting and historical experts, and they all were convinced, totally convinced, it's genuine. There were no doubts at all.
That wasn't quite true. There were some doubts. Philip Knightley was a seasoned journalist who'd worked for the Sunday Times investigative team for almost 20 years. He remembers feeling distinctly uneasy when the paper's editor, Frank Giles, told him that the Sunday Times's owner, Rupert Murdoch, had bought the rights from Stern to serialise the diaries in the UK.
Strangely enough, we met in the toilet. Often a lot of very important meetings take place in toilets. And I said, well, the Hitler diaries, I mean, how do we know they're true? And he said, oh, it's been vouched for by Hugh Trevor Roper, who's a German expert and Hitler expert. And I said, well, look, the Mussolini diaries were also vouched for, but they turned out to be fakes devised by two little old ladies who lived in Vercelli outside Milan. So how do we know that these are not fakes as well? And he said, oh, they're vouched for by the vendor, who was Stern magazine, and the proprietor, Rupert Murdoch, is absolutely convinced that the diaries are genuine, and he's done the deal, and it's all happening.
So at that stage, who had seen the diaries?
Trevor Roper, who'd inspected them, and Murdoch had bought them, sight unseen, but on the absolute authentication by Trevor Roper.
Because obviously, I mean, Stern was a very reputable magazine.
Yes, of course.
And Hugh Trevor Roper, one of the leading historians on the Nazi period. What more could you ask for?
Yes, exactly. What more could you ask for?
The diaries were in 62 small handwritten volumes. They'd apparently been salvaged from a plane carrying Hitler's personal papers that had crashed over East Germany at the end of the war. Stern was still insisting that no one could see them except Hugh Trevor Roper, also known as Lord Dacre, and one other historian. But by April the 23rd, 1983, the story of Hitler's lost diaries was one of the biggest in the world.
If the diaries are genuine, then it's a discovery of immense historical importance, which will call for the widespread revision of much that's been written about the Second World War. And the fact that Lord Dacre, one of the leading authorities on the Nazi era, believes them to be authentic is powerful persuasion indeed. What convinced him more than anything else was the wealth of other Hitler mementos and possessions which were found along with the diaries, as the editor of the Times, Charles Douglas Hume, explains.
It was not just 60 volumes of notebooks in Hitler's handwriting. There was a vast amount of artwork, his drawings, paintings. There were his party card.
Back at the Sunday Times, Philip Knightley was also still having his doubts. Years earlier, he'd been sent by the Sunday Times to retrieve the paper's money after it had paid for what were thought to be the diaries of the other big wartime fascist leader, the Italian Benito Mussolini. Even Mussolini's son had thought the diaries were genuine. But they turned out to have been forged, as Philip now reminded his editor, Frank Giles.
I wrote a one-page memo recalling what had happened with the Mussolini diaries and saying that we should demand possession of at least one of the diaries so that I could have the ink, paper and binding tested. But Giles said, don't worry anyway, because the diaries will begin to be published in the Times. And he said, if it starts in the Times on a Monday, and it won't appear in the Sunday Times until that following Sunday, and that will give us time to double-check everything.
So what happened next? What was your role?
Well, I kept on persisting with, let's get a diary. And Stern kept on refusing to give us one. They said the danger that the whole thing might leak and the whole story might come out too soon, and they were selling the diaries all over the world. And so I failed to persuade them to give us a diary until the Monday before scheduled publication.
But then everything changed. Rupert Murdoch decided to bring forward publication. Instead of the diaries being serialised in the Times first, the Sunday Times would run the story on the Sunday, April the 24th, a day ahead of Stern. The first edition had already been printed. The front page ran world exclusive Hitler's diaries when Frank Giles rang Hugh Trevor Roper to check something.
Well, I only heard one side of the conversation, but I heard Frank Giles say, "Oh, you're having second thoughts, Hugh." And, "Oh, but you're not going to do a 180-degree turn, are you?" "Oh, you are doing a 180-degree turn." And everybody in the room, all the newspaper executives, slumped down in their chairs and put their head in their hands because we lost our principal authenticator. It was clear that the story was absolutely wrong.
And what should they do now? Pull the front page? Rupert Murdoch would have to decide. The presses were still rolling.
We tried to stop them. We rang Rupert Murdoch, the editor, was running the paper, and he had the authority, if necessary, to stop the presses and change the front page. Instead of saying World Exclusive Hitler Diaries, we could have changed it to World Exclusive Hitler Diaries ? But when he rang Murdoch, Murdoch said, "Well, just because Dacre has been vacillating over all this time, screw him, we'll publish."
The next day there was uproar. Stern had called a press conference in Hamburg to mark publication of the first instalment of the diaries. But there was chaos as first one academic, then Hugh Trevor Roper, stood up to confirm that he was having second thoughts.
"I must say that I, as a historian, I regret that the normal method of historical verification has perhaps necessarily been, to some extent, sacrificed to the requirements of a journalistic scoop."
As he finished speaking, another academic waved in the air photocopies of a fake diary that he said were from the same source. The scoop that Stern had paid almost 9 million marks for and that the Sunday Times had bought for almost $1 million, a huge sum in 1983, was rapidly turning to dust. Back in London, Philip Knightley had at last received one of the 62 volumes which he'd been asking Stern for all those weeks.
"When I got the diary, it was obvious to me, anyway, that it was ludicrous to say that these were Hitler diaries. The content alone certainly made them appear fake."
"What do they look like? What do they smell like? What do they say?
You didn't feel that you were grasping the intimate diaries of a man who had been such a powerful figure in world affairs. The contents were trite and ludicrous."
The diaries were sent for chemical testing. Within days, it was clear they were fake, peppered with historical inaccuracies and written with a modern ink. The diaries turned out to be school notebooks aged with tea. The next week, the Sunday Times ran a front-page apology. The Sunday Times recovered, but Hugh Trevor Roper's reputation never fully did. The diaries had been faked by Konrad Kujau, a small-time art dealer and forger in Stuttgart. He and the Stern journalist who'd bought them were both sentenced to 4.5 years in jail.
Louise Hidalgo. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.